were creating a world, I wouldn't mess about with butterflies and daffodils. I would have started with lasers. 8 o'clock, day one.
Well, hello everyone. Are you excited? I am. It's the All Japan Excite series, and I'm here with my favorite excitable Canadian, Stephen Graham.
Well, thank you. I'll let Kelly know.
Well, I said excitable.
Okay.
I don't know if Kelly's excitable. He's more kind of laconic, I would say. More of a laid-back character.
Okay. I gotcha.
Will you agree? I don't know.
I don't know. He's from Vancouver. They're pretty laid-back.
Thanks for ruining my smooth intro, Stephen. Come on. I've been working
on that. I'm really good at that, so.
Right, well, we're hot on the heels of our last show. We are ready to roll again deep into 1995. Anything you want to mention before we get into this?
No, nothing's happened in the last couple of days. So
you've been enjoying your turkey or whatever you do for Canadian Thanksgiving? Yeah, Oh, no, of course. You probably have like a tofu in a shape of a turkey.
Yeah, my wife's not too happy.
Christ almighty.
The pumpkin cheesecake turned out really good, so can't complain too much.
Let's move on, because we have more important matters to discuss, namely 6-9-95, Asawa and Kobashi taking on Tawe and Kawada, a match with some reputation, Stephen. Now, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 Bowers points for this. Do you have anything you want to mention before I get into them?
After the Championship Carnival, this match got even better for me watching all that stuff we watched last time. So we'll go through that stuff throughout the whole match. But yeah, I have on Notepad, it's like 2 pages long. I can't even see it all on the screen at once. So
great. We'll see. Okay, glad to see somebody else using Notepad. I'm a big advocate of the old little built-in notepad.
That's all I use for. I have like 6 on my desktop for different things. Just
yeah. All right, well, let's get into the first Parv's point then.
Parv's point.
Is that your best? Oh, too easy, you weak, pathetic fool.
Number one. Some awesomely stiff manly chops at the start of this. Manly chops, Stephen. Then Kawada kicks Misawa in the face off the apron in one of several pieces of opportunism, and business is about to pick up. And then, moments later, he sneaks a kick on Kobashi. Very cheeky. So, yes, quite a fun little opening. Really stiff chops and then the cheeky kick on Misawa's face. So I'll pause for you to comment.
Yeah, I just think like that is one of my favorite spots of all time. Just Misawa or Kawada being Irish whipped, and then he just runs into Misawa with his foot. And then Misawa gets back up on the apron and just runs over and hits Kobashi, and then, you know, it's war from there.
It's never a safe place to hang out on the apron in these tags, is it?
No. But yeah, I love this. The first time I ever saw this, I marked out huge. And yeah, every time I see it, it brings a big smile to my face. Love that spot.
So then from there, this is the second pass point. I love the control sequence on Tawe. Both Misawa and Kobashi are working really snug tonight. Really, really snug. And there was a really neat little bit of business leading up to the plancha by Misawa. I liked all of that whole sequence, so can probably spot it in your notes there, Stephen. Why don't you talk to me about it?
Yeah, this was actually my very next note. Just the whole Misawa's fake dive, he flips back in, Kobashi hits the dive, and then Kawada runs in and nails Misawa, and then Misawa dives on Tawe. It's just, yeah, that whole sequence is something they kind of... It looked like maybe it was something that they had to think about and plan ahead because it was so amazing, but it worked so well in the context of the match. Just, oh, so great. Just a thing of beauty, that whole sequence.
Yeah, it didn't come across as choreographed, but it could have been a sequence that they'd planned, possibly. Hard to say, but it was a really neat bit of business. I enjoyed it. And then the third point, Kobashi has an injured leg, which, of course, Kawada and Tawe naturally target. And Kobashi has a kind of bandage on his thigh. We get a scorpion deathlock by Tawie, which is unusual for him. Yeah. And there was just a little thing that I love. They've probably always done it, but I really noticed it in this match. I love the way they both drag Kobashi by the hair. They're such dicks, aren't they? Just the way that they just use the hair in order to drag somebody up. It's, you know, just nasty all the time. So, yes, the legwork on Kobashi early in this kind of... We're probably about 15, 20 minutes in at this point, I'd imagine.
Yeah, that sounds about right. But yeah, this whole legwork, and it continues throughout the match. And Kobashi's... you're a big fan of big selling. You talk about that a lot. And
yes.
Kobashi, I think he brings it in this match with this selling.
He takes big selling to kind of a whole new level in this match, doesn't he? He's he is a massive performer, Kobashi. And I mean, you could even say at several points in this match, he risks upstaging everybody with just the hugeness of his performance here. He's like a kind of, I don't know, like...
Let me think of like a massive performance in a film, like, I don't know, Emperor and Return of the Jedi or something. Just a massive, massive performance, you know.
That's true.
So
yeah. I'd love to, at the end of this match, just who we think was the worker of this match. So yeah, just keep that in the back of your mind.
That's going to be an interesting thing to talk about. This is my fourth point, the targeting of Misawa's face now. And as several people have told us, he did have an orbital injury before that last match, because we discussed that before, didn't we, Stephen?
Yeah, and I did rewatch that, and I bumped it up to 5 stars. So,
and I mean, I've written here, it's like he has a permanent migraine. Basically, it's like he comes into the match with a migraine. You know, he looks like he's having a bad day as well, Misawa. There's a really great moment where Kobashi comes in for the save. Kawada kicks Misawa in the face. Then Tawie goes for a really low drop kick to take out Kobashi's leg. And you get this awesome psychology where they've got Misawa's face nailed, they've got Kobashi's leg nailed, and they're just doing all they can. And then not long after that, we get possibly the highlight of the match where Tawie basically slams Misawa onto... I think it's just choke slam.
Choke slams Misawa onto Kobashi's leg.
Choke slams him onto Kobashi's leg. And there's a moment where the faces really do seem like they're in a lot of trouble here. It's like, I've written, it's like double simultaneous face in peril. And there's a really great moment a little bit after this as well, where, because Kobashi is so injured, he has to have like people attending to his leg outside.
Yeah.
And he's been out there for about 2 or 3 minutes. And he's just like recovering on the apron. Kawada spot, like they're working over Misawa. Kawada like spots him in the corner of his eye, and he literally just runs over and kicks him down again. I just thought that was just like one of those things I noticed in this match, is that Kawada may be the best of all time at opportunism. Like he's such a nasty little bastard, isn't he, all the time.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of like a cheeky, you know, I don't know, I know they don't really have like a face or and heel dynamic in All Japan or in Japan in general, but I mean, he's clearly a heel. There's no two ways about it.
For sure.
I mean, he's a dick. He really is. So
he is. A few things about this. A little before the choke slam and that great thing, Misawa gets tagged in. And the first thing he does is he runs over and hits an elbow on Kawada, who's on the apron. That was a neat revenge spot.
Bit of payback, yeah.
Yeah, I really like that. And that whole sequence with the choke slam onto Kobashi's leg, you know, that whole thing, you have Kawada just standing on Kobashi's leg, just being such a dick. He's just kicking Misawa in the eye. Misawa's trying to fight back. Tawie just destroys him with this giant stomp on Kobashi's leg. It's just the legwork here is some of the just insane. Like, it might be beyond Anderson level. It's just so great here. And it just turns into like a handicap match because Kobashi's so dead in the leg.
Yeah. And then my fifth point is then during this time where Kobashi's out, the sheer relentlessness of the way they're targeting Misawa's face is just ridiculous. How, like, focused that offense is. And they pull out a whole range of spots that I don't think I've seen either of these guys do. Like, just purely targeting that kind of eye area. I mean, talk about focusing on a body part. You're right, it may be beyond Anderson's level, just with the sheer relentlessness of it, you know. There were times where you think, well, maybe the referee should call this because this is getting, like, this is getting silly, you know. So, yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and there's so many little moments where there, anytime Kobashi shows any signs of life, one of them walks over and they'll just, like, pick up Kobashi and drop his leg on the guardrail. And then they'll go back to destroying Misawa again. It's so, so good.
Yeah. And then, yeah, I love them spotting him. Ooh, what's that on the horizon? It's recovering Kobashi. We better go and take him out again. Well, anyway, my sixth point is once Kobashi does actually get back in the ring, there's a sequence where it's Kobashi and Kawada. That sequence of chops and kicks to the leg was absolutely incredible. The heat, yeah. Intensity, fierceness, everything. I mean, it was personal. And then we get a sequence with Kobashi and Tawe. But first of all, let me just pause on this Kobashi and Kawada sequence, because Kobashi hits him possibly as hard as he possibly can. I mean, it's like such a massively hard chop. Kawada just takes it, and then he does it again, and he just takes it. And then he does it again, and then you get the cheap little kick to the leg. It's just such an awesome little sequence. And then they go, Kobashi and Tawe go at it. You get the triple chops, shove down, fighting spirit, back with the chops, shove down. And another really awesome sequence that has a little payback spot with Kobashi shoving Tawe down.
Oh, I love that when Kobashi does Tawe's shove down move to him. It's so good.
So those two little kind of mini sequences there with Kobashi and both of the heels there was absolutely phenomenal. So I really loved that.
People make fun of, like, bring up fighting spirit, you know, as like, this is when, you know, in New Japan where they chop each other and they just stare at each other and they hit forearms and they just stare at each other and it's like awful. But this is fighting spirit to me. This is Kobashi, his legs like the most injured leg in the history of the world. And he's giving everything he can. He's showing so much emotion. He's almost crying while he's trying to fight back. It's amazing.
Do you know what I like to imagine, Stephen? I imagine he's got, like, you know, like in Star Wars. I've already mentioned Star Wars twice. I know what's happening. But, you know, like the blue ghost of Obi-Wan?
Yeah.
I like to imagine, like, all of the baby faces, like, you know, Briscoe, Vern, Hogan, they're all there living in Kobashi as the whole pantheon, Ricky Dozan, they're all kind of there in the fighting spirit, you know, because that's literally how he plays it, as if he's drawing on some kind of, you know, it really is. I mean, it's stupidly over the top, but I kind of love that, you know. So
oh yeah, I have no problems. I think later in his career in some other matches, it's a little too much, but this match, I can't complain about it at all.
I think it was appropriate to the moment, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
So anyway, number seven, penultimate point here, Stephen, the bombs really start to fly now. And at one point, Misawa basically folds Kawada in half with a really sick German before a tiger suplex and a tiger driver. Tiger driver, and the crowd was absolutely mental for those near falls. They were really losing their shit at this point.
There's also one point Misawa and Kobashi do a double tiger driver on one of the guys.
Yeah.
just ridiculous. And at this point too is when Kobashi does this first attempt at a moonsault, but Kawada comes up and just knocks him down with a kick.
It was several moonsault attempts by Kobashi during that. He didn't actually get one off, did he? Did he get one off at any point?
He did later on, yeah.
He does, right, like near the end. Right?
When he does hit it, so I think it's the fourth time he goes for it and he doesn't get blocked. He does hit it, and at one point Kawada moves away. He rolls away. Maybe he doesn't hit it. Oh, no, he finally hits it and gets a two count after all that. Yeah, but the only way he can hit it, because he's done it, he's got Kawada down, he's got Tawe down, he always gets stopped. He goes for the moonsault, he goes up to the top, but Kawada rolls away, And then Kobashi finally, he slams Kawada. He goes up for the moonsault again. Kawada gets up, but Misawa finally comes over, slams him, gives him the stiffest senton ever. And that's when Kobashi finally nails the moonsault, but he only gets two.
Yeah. Okay, well, I've got my final point now, and we're moving into the finish, basically. So anything that you have before then, you might as well mention it now.
I think we're moving on to the choke slam, right? So
choke slam from the apron by Tawe on Misawa. That's where I've got.
Yeah.
I mean, there's more, but that's the first sentence in the point, if that makes any sense.
Oh, yeah.
Then Tawe rolls him in. Misawa immediately rolls out to evade the pin, which is something you mentioned last time. It was really awesome here.
Yeah.
Then choke slam by Tawe on Kobashi. Powerbomb by Kawada on Misawa. Really hot sequence. And then we get Kobashi going over to protect Misawa. And he gets absolutely fucking decked. I mean, he goes over to protect him outside the ring. And then he goes over to protect him inside the ring. And Jesus Christ, they kill him. And I like, talk about sympathy. Like, that is the most babyface thing ever. Kobashi protecting...
just Misawa. Lying on Misawa so he does get hurt more.
It's just, that's really like a kind of, you know, I'll give you it, like, if, like, it doesn't matter, I'll put my body on the line to protect you, my friend. Yeah. Really awesome. And yes, so I reached the end of my notes. So.
Okay, before the for the chokeslam first, you know, Tawe hit the moonsault off the top. But what happens is he basically drags the carcass of Misawa to the apron. Kobashi tries to make the save, but Kawada runs over, nails his leg again. Tawe goes for the choke slam off the apron, but Misawa's fighting like crazy for it, right? Yeah. And then all of a sudden, Kawada runs and hits a lariat to the back of Misawa's head.
Oh, yeah, that's true, yeah.
Knocking him free. He hits the choke slam. Kobashi tries to cover him up. He gets thrown away. They finally roll him in, but then he rolls to the outside, and they finally get him in, and he gets a two. Like, that whole build up to that choke slam is just, it's so great. And it's Kobashi trying to save him, Misawa fighting for his life because he knows it's the end. But like, at one point, this match just feels like, okay, it's time that Kawada pins Misawa, because there's no way that Misawa and Kobashi can win this. Right? Like, it's only a matter of time.
Yeah. It did seem like it was going that way, to be honest. And so, I mean, I don't think there's any question over the rating, Stephen. It's definitely a 5-star match. I think the bigger talking point is when in the Pantheon, if you, and I've just done my top 100 matches, so quite good timing by us. I can directly kind of look at my list and see where it would fit in. Is this the best match of all time, in your opinion?
At this current moment, yes. There is a few things I need to watch. Some of those New Japan elimination matches. There's another tag that some people think from 96 that's better.
Right.
But of everything I've seen, this match, just every time I watch it, I think it just gets better and better and better. I've never watched this match and not thought it was the best match ever after I finished. Because not only do you have the great story of Kobashi's leg, you have Kawada finally pinning Misawa for the very first time. You have the great leg work. You have the great going after the eye work. You have the big moves. You have the story and the psychology of it.
The stiffness.
Like, what you have selling, stiffness, big moves, story. Like, I don't know what else you could possibly want out of a wrestling match.
For me, Stephen, it is lacking one tiny quality that may prevent it from the very top spot. And that is the true kind of emotion that transcends wrestling that I look for. I always talk about it with Magnum Tully, of course. I talk about it with certain other matches as well. And for me, I mean, I don't know, that kind of the idea of Kawada finally getting the pin on Misawa is probably not enough to give me that kind of emotional hit. So even though this is like 10 out of 10 in basically every category that you could think of, it's just missing that tiny thing, which may be enough to not have it as number one. So that's where I am right now. It's definitely a top five match, but it's probably not going to beat my Clash 6. Probably not going to beat...
It's got a way better finish than Clash 6.
Probably not going to beat... yeah, but the finish is not everything, you know. The finish is not everything. Probably better... Probably I'll put Jumbo Tenryu over it in terms of paying off a massive storyline.
Yeah.
I probably... And then basically it's Magnum Tully or this. So that's where I am, basically. Okay. So it's either going to be three or four when... but I guess if me and Chad ever do a second take, you'd be sure to see this up in the top five at the very minimum.
So, yeah, and this is what, the first time you watched it was yesterday?
Yes, the first time I watched it is yesterday, and it's taken quite a lot of self-control, Stephen, not to like be, you know, not because you see everybody talking about this thing and you think, like, I could have watched it for 4 years ago, you know?
Yeah,
but I rather stubbornly didn't. So I'm quite pleased. That yeah, self control.
And I think the championship carnival, all of the matches we've seen where Kobashi's leg was getting injured throughout '95, all that kind of stuff. Tawei being a monster, Kawada coming up short with Misawa, all those things kind of really add to it. So watching in context, it's definitely a plus.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I mean, I couldn't be much higher on the match. It's just, you know, is it the number one of all time? Probably not for me, but it really is, like, is it the best match that we've seen, Stephen? That would be the question. And probably it is the best match that we've covered on this show. I prefer it to...
And we've seen a lot of five-star matches.
I prefer it to the Misawa Kawada singles match from last... from 94, basically. Yeah. The one that ends with the Tiger Driver.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm not going to, you know, top three match of all time. Really, whenever you're in the top five, top 10, it's really down to personal preference.
I mean, you could stick them all in a hat and come out with a different order on a different day, you know, but.
For sure.
Yeah, it's just one of those things, I guess. You can only have one match in the top slot, and it's probably just even though it does have hatred and does have emotion, I'm not sure if it has the intensity. But now that I think of it, I wonder if Clash 6 really has that
quality. I don't think it does.
It doesn't really, but then they have so much history, those two, I don't know. I may have to sit down and watch them back to back one day and really have a think about that.
I think you need some time.
Yeah.
Too. Because just watched it the first time yesterday, and that's kind of hard to put it with a match you've seen how many times for how many years.
So many times, yeah.
Yeah. So but give us some time. We'll see.
Let's move on. But
before we do, we should deliver. Who is the worker of that match for you?
It's got to be Kobashi, isn't it?
Ugh. I don't know, man. I love Kawada being...
I think it's between Kobashi and Kawada for me.
Yeah. I guess it depends if you... And they did such different performances. Like Kawada just being completely dedicated to destroying these guys, doing anything it will take, taking every chance he can to do it, versus Kobashi, who is selling his ass off to survive. Really.
Yeah, I just think it's such a terrific babyface performance from Kobashi that I'm going to have to go with that. Although Kawada was such a sneaky little git during this whole thing. Yeah. And he actually kind of, I mean, it's subtle heel work, but he was kind of making me think, come on, play fair for a little bit, you know? it was like, which is, you know, saying something. It's like, because we're hardly, you know, your average mark here. But
yeah, it's almost unfair, this match. Like, the Holy Demon Army is like, it's like they have some unfair advantage here. Especially when you get to the point where he chokeslams him on the leg. It's almost like, okay, guys, like, what are you doing? Like, are you, did you guys take steroids? Did you replace yourselves with robots before the match? Like, what happened? That it's not even a, like a fair playing ground here. So
yeah, and it's a really good story. Like, you rarely see, like, both the baby faces have different injuries and both of them, like, work all the way through the match. So it's really it's layered. It's layered stuff. So, anyway, I probably won't be watching it every Christmas like my friend Chad, but that's only because my dad especially hates wrestling so much that just having him in the room puts a downer on it. Because you know, he's still at the level where he's basically like, you know, it's fake, don't you? I was like, no, Dad.
Yeah.
Like trying to point out bits where, oh, he didn't really hit him there. It's like the most irritating for me thing for me in the world to watch wrestling with a non-wrestling guy.
My wife, sometimes wrestling comes on, she has to leave the room because she hates it. Sometimes she just, you know, tolerates it. But she was watching a little bit with me the other day because she was just reading a book on the couch. But she saw the point where Kawada grabbed, I think it was Misawa's face, and just started kicking him in the face. And she's like... She like freaked out. She's like, what is this? Like, that's so mean. Like, yeah. Yep. So good stuff.
Well, let's move on now, because it's a rematch. Tawei versus Kobashi from 7/24/95. Yeah, do you have any notes going into this before I hit my first pause point?
No, just after their last match, I was very excited for the rematch, but I couldn't expect it to live up to that. So,
Bob's points.
Is that your best? Oh, too easy. You weak, pathetic fool. Such a
pity. Well, my first point then, Stephen. Choke slam on the outside, followed by a sit out power bomb, aka the dynamic bomb. It's quite a way to start this match from Tawei. I mean, that's called making a statement. And it's interesting because Kobashi is immediately working from underneath here with no real shine. We get basically the Stan Hansen opening, where it's like, bang, I'm going to hit you with everything. How do you like them apples? So,
yeah, like, we got a real heat segment in this match. And not only that, Tawei brings him to the ring, and then he has a friggin' Macho Man flying elbow drop off the top. Like, what the hell's happening here? It was great.
I mean, I'm not like, what do you think about hitting his finisher in the opening minute of the match? It's a bit, some people might say that's a bit kind of like killing the finisher or whatever.
Well, it's not like he went for the pin and then he kicked out right away, right? Like, he rolled to the floor so he couldn't get covered. By the time he finally went for the cover, a lot of time had passed. But, you know, if you did this every match, it would stink. Like they kind of did at times during the Attitude Era. But if the rare time you come out and you set one guy up to be on top from the very beginning and the other guy has to fight from underneath, that's completely okay.
All right. So my second past point, Stephen, he comes back. He comes back, right, with a release power bomb on the outside of his own. By Kobashi, a release power bomb by Kobashi. Kobashi really has excellent offense, doesn't he? Perhaps the best. And I don't know if you noticed, I created a thread earlier just called Best Offense on PWO, where I ranked my top 10 wrestlers for offense. And I can't, like, Kobashi has to be number one, doesn't he? Would you agree with that? Like, anybody got better offense than Kobashi?
It depends what you're looking, like, what you mean by that. Like,
just
Kobashi might have
massive bombs.
Yeah, like Kobashi might have the best array of different bombs. Yeah, I'll give you that.
Like, when has he ever done a release power bomb, for God's sake? And it's just like, and then he followed it up with a power bomb into a pinning bridge, delayed vertical suplex, abdominal stretch on the floor, which is a really weird spot, and then like the lowest double drop kicks thing in the world. It was just like, he was like maybe like an inch off the ground. I don't know. I just think the guy is so amazing on offense. So there we go.
Oh yeah, for sure. And he'll keep adding as we go along. Like, he's doing moves in 98 that, you know, we've never seen before. And he just keeps adding and adding throughout the years. And I think that kind of becomes his flaw, because by the time you hit, you know, the mid 2000s and stuff like that, he's kind of got way too many killing bomb offense, it just seems like too much. So I think here it's perfectly great, and I think it becomes too much at some point.
He's like the opposite of a Jerry Lawler or someone like that.
Yeah, exactly. Basically. He's not a minimalist, that's for sure.
Well, anyway, my third point. For my taste, the match became a little bit too back and forth after a while. It was very like your turn, my turn, after that kind of sequence I just mentioned. There was a moment, Stephen, where Tawei really looked like a mini Giant Baba to me. You know when he was in the sleeper? I was like, that could easily be Giant Baba there. Tawei's got that weird quality where he can sometimes look like Baba Jr. or something. But he really looked like him in that moment, so look out for that. Would you agree a bit to your turn, my turn, this match?
I never got that sense. Like, I kind of felt like this was not that they were exchanging times on top, but I thought it was more like this was a grudge war after their last couple times in the ring together. I just thought that Tawei felt himself to be the monster and Kobashi was just like pissed off. He doesn't want to have it anymore, and he's just kept coming and coming. I thought it was a good continuation of their Champion Carnival match in that aspect.
All right, well, my last point is a bit of an unusual one, Stephen. I like the fact that the concrete becoming exposed is still something that has impact even in this high octane setting. So that was just a little thing, because you know the concrete was pulled, the mats were pulled back at one point in the match. I like that, like, still being a thing, even though they're doing insane shit in every match. So did you have anything else to add before we get to the star ratings?
There was just a lot of really cool spots. We don't have to go into all of them, but like just little things. Like, I think at one point Kobashi goes for a dragon suplex and Tawei kind of kicks off the ropes and lands on top of him.
That was cool. That was awesome.
Yeah, it was just little things like that. There's a lot of stuff like that. The fight on the apron, them removing the pads to be like taking these power bombs on the floor to a new level. Yet more of the teasing of the moonsault before it finally hits. I just thought this was a whole really intense war, to be honest. And the fact it went 30-minute draw kind of surprised me. And it didn't. I enjoyed that the fact it actually went to a draw, because it means we get to see more of these guys kind of killing each other. So
I went 4 stars, Stephen. I felt this was a bit more exhibition-y and ephemeral than the Champions Carnival match. Still, like, really solid, hard-hitting action and cool spots and all sorts of great stuff. But I got the impression that these guys were putting on a bit of a show more than that. So maybe you disagree with me if you thought it was...
Yeah, I have it 4.5. I think multiple times in my notes I have they're fighting like death. This is a war. The struggles there. I thought it didn't feel exhibition-y at all throughout this. I thought this was really intense throughout. So I didn't get that feeling. If I had that feeling, I probably would have dropped it down where you had it. But I didn't get that feeling at all.
So what did you go? 4.5?
4.5, yeah.
Right. And I think that's where I had the last match. Is that right? I think it was.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, it makes sense. And you had that one at 4.75.
So, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so we're pretty consistent, so yep. That's good.
So the next one, Sauer and Kawada again. This is on exactly the same show, 7/24/95. They had a treat that day. So any notes here before I hit my first point?
Yeah, we missed that Masao won the Triple Crown again, I think. So there is that.
When did he win it?
Oh, I think he won it in May.
Right, yeah. I'd love to be able to keep track, because Williams won it, and then Kawada won it. Didn't he off Williams, and then Misawa beat Kawada, did he?
One second. I'm just actually pulling it up. I looked at it earlier today, but my memory is not as good as that. Wow. It brings up horse racing if you just type in Triple Crown. Can you delete that? Okay, it's right here. So... we had Misawa's two-year reign ended in July of 94 by Williams. Then Kawada won it in October. Stan Hansen won it in March.
From Kawada.
And then right. Misawa won it from Hansen in May.
It's interesting how they're using the old Gaijins there as the as transitional guys.
Yeah, I know.
To avoid doing the straight swap between the two of them.
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting booking by the Giant.
Yeah, it is. It's very old school because, like, Hansen's reigns are much shorter. Williams, because you had a 705-day reign by Misawa. You had an 86-day reign by Williams. Then you had Kawada for 133 days, and then Hansen for 83, and then Misawa holds it for a whole year. So it seems like the long reigns are the natives, and then the Gaijins have like this little short couple month reign to
transition it. They're your WWF heels.
Yeah, your Ivan Koloffs and your Stan Stasiaks.
And yes, or Iron Sheik, or
exactly.
Bob's points.
Is that your best? Oh, too easy. You weak, pathetic fool.
Such a pity. First Palms points. Kawada continues his relentless focus on Misawa's face. There is a real cheapness and slyness to some of Kawada's opportunism. It doesn't matter if there isn't heel or face dynamics, Kawada is a heel, no doubt about it. Horrible little bastard. So, reiterating something I said before, but it bears repeating, I think. He is just a sneaky individual, I would say.
He is. And it kind of felt like to me in this match, early on especially, that Kawada like had gained some confidence from the pin in the tag match.
Yeah.
Because like he just comes out here and he just looks like he's in control and he's going to destroy Misawa on his way to the title.
No, he did, yeah. I'd agree with that. I don't actually have many notes for this one, Steve. Only two more. So you may want to get your shit in, as they say.
Just like Ric Flair.
No.
That was a joke. It was not.
You should have said, like, Angle or...
Oh, yeah. That's way worse.
Picked a more appropriate worker. So my second point is there's an awesome moment in this where Misawa hits Kawada so hard with the elbows that when he sends Kawada in for the Irish whip, he just falls face first before reaching the ropes. It's almost like a Greg Valentine or like a Flair flop, basically. It's like he can't make it to the ropes. So I really enjoyed that. And then Misawa busted out a whole range of cool suplexes after that as well. So I love that.
Yeah. That was great. There's a lot of cool stuff here. So I'll just see what your next note is before I add it in.
Yeah, okay. Well, my final note is basically there's a real sense of Kawada not being able to put Misawa away here. I mean, he tries so many different bombs, so many different tactics. You know, the backdrop suplexes are sick in this match. They're ridiculous. Yeah. They are ridiculous. You know, literally snapping guys in half with it. Then, of course, Misawa steps it up. Tiger suplex, release tiger suplex. And that's enough to show that he's still the man. So,
yeah. Yeah, he does a big elbow at the end, just puts him away.
Yeah, he actually finished the match with an elbow after the release tiger. I thought that was quite cool. So
yeah. Some of the little things throughout the match is anytime Kawada feels his advantage is slipping away, he just nails him in the eye.
Yeah.
it's so great.
It's like I said, cheap.
Yeah, it is. And just, a lot of devastating suplexes. And Kawada, it does feel like in this that he just doesn't have what it takes to beat Misawa one-on-one. It just feels like that. Like, Misawa's just the ace, and he just can't do it.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that. And, I think that I've got very slight criticism is that he might have registered the frustration a little bit more. I know he's not that sort of character, and I'm not asking for kind of like WF style cartoon heel work here, but just a little bit more frustration would have been like maybe a slamming the mat one time just to register his, you know, Christ, what do I have to do type thing.
But I just kind of like that Kawada, no matter what, is just going to you know, put his head down and keep going. And he's not going to show his emotion. This is a job, and he's going to do it no matter what. And even if it's, you know, he is frustrated, and you can tell by not, you know, slamming the mat or anything like that, but by like doing two backed up drivers in a row. Like that's his form of slapping.
All right. So hold on now. Are you saying that it's all right for Guada not to show emotion, but Dory has to show it?
No,
that's the knock on my man Dory all the time. He doesn't show enough emotion.
I think Guada shows emotion. It's just he's showing it through his offense.
Well, that's the argument I always made with Dory. He shows it in different ways.
But Guada is exciting, and Dory is boring. We could not watch Dory Funk Jr. on the All Japan Excite series.
I don't know. If it was 70, if it was the 70s edition, there'd be plenty of him in there. Oh, well.
Maybe.
I have to find a different co-host, probably.
Yeah, for your Dory series. Be fair to Dory.
Finding Dory, that's what I'd call it.
That's good.
To tie in with the new Pixar movie.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. That's good. I like it. Or the good Dory to tie in, because he's kind of like a dinosaur because he's so old.
Anyway, less about Dory here, the All Japan legend Dory Funk Jr. And let's get into what we made of this match. I thought it was a really good match, actually, Stephen. Not quite up there with their very, very best, but really strong work, I thought. Good psychology with the face injury, of course. Some massive bombs. I gave it 4.5. Where did you go with this one?
I did your favorite 4.25, and I felt about the same. It's just I think I have an extra rating that I can use to wiggle things around. So I think that's why. But I thought this was a great match. Obviously not up to their other singles match, but it was better than the Carnival one we watched.
Now, do you think the existence of that 4.25 rating for you and the fact it doesn't exist for me means that on average you're going to be slightly lower on things, like when we notch everything up? Or do you think it works, you know, kind of evens out, because sometimes I'll go 4 and sometimes I'll go 4.5?
Yeah, you know it's, I think it's the same. About a year ago or so, Canada got rid of the penny. And sometimes you round up to 5 cents, or sometimes you round down to 0 cents at the end. I think it's the same thing here.
Okay. Right. So the final match we're going to consider, Sawa and Kobashi. This is Tawa and Kawada. This is 10:15:95. And I've just written in my notes here, Stephen, are you fucking kidding me? Another hour Broadway. No, 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 no.
Not this fucking time. No! No, 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 no! No! No, 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 no! No! Not this fucking time! No fucking way! No fucking way! No fucking way! No fucking way! You made me look a right cunt!
That was my initial reaction as well. I was not pleased at the beginning to see that it would be another one of these.
Well, despite the fact it goes an hour, I've only got 2 points, so you may have to carry this one.
Bob's points.
Is that your best? Oh, too easy, you weak, pathetic fool.
My first point is that I could really do without the lengthy test of strength spots, just eating up time at the start. I really don't want to see these guys move broadways, I'll be honest. And I'm not a fan of the test of strength stuff, especially for the second go-round now.
What about the Kobashi Tawe sumo match they had in the middle of the ring? Because I thought that was awesome. They had a legit sumo match, which Tawe won. He tossed Kobashi to the ground, and then they continued on. I thought that was awesome. But the first couple minutes, I thought it was a hot start. You had Misawa throwing out a German in the first minute. I don't know. I thought the start – I didn't think it started off as a slow build. So, but we'll see, I guess, what else you thought.
Well, my second Parv's point, I'm just going to – I've been very lazy here, Stephen, because Pete F., the only guest in All Japan Excite Series history, Pete F., summed up my thoughts absolutely perfectly on this match. So I devote the entirety of the second Parv's point to him. And I'm just going to read out what he said about this match, okay, because this sums up everything I think about it.
He said, "Oh God, I love All Japan and I love these two teams, but enough of these fucking hour draws already. I get that all of them had to be included in this match in particular, but the draw for All Japan is turning into a crutch or a test of manhood rather than a booking tactic. The first 40 minutes or so are effective as a series of mini-matches, shining for the baby faces, then Misawa getting taken out on the floor, and Kobashi having to go it alone, then the Tawei in peril sequence, then Kobashi and his hurt arm. But it seemed like they ran out of things to do after that, and this limps along to the finish. Technically well done, and objectively speaking about a 4-star affair, but don't ask me to watch this again, or put it on any of my best of 95, or put it on any kind of best of 95, much less a best of decade list." That's what PF said. I co-sign all of that. So there we go.
What's really funny is I watched the match and then I read the thread, and yeah, I read his comments. I'm like, yep, that's that sums it up really well. Hour-long draws have their place in time, but I think it was, we've seen enough of them for this year. You know, it was a good match. I like you said, 4 stars seems about right. And there was a lot of cool stuff.
I even disagree with that rating. I went 3 3/4. just to underline the point, I guess. Like, I don't know. I don't want to see this match again.
If I did, I would not be watching 3 or 4 hour-long draws in like 2 or 3 days between them.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, I think if we watched this after a bunch of, you know, 20-minute ones or not watching All Japan for a bit, it would feel a lot better. But, yeah, it kind of drags down because of all that stuff.
Maybe a bit of burnout as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, affecting, you know, how many times are we going to see these guys and we have to watch them go an hour as well?
God, yeah. You know. But
I don't know, because like exactly like that opener, the 6995 goes 50 minutes, doesn't it, basically? Yeah. Bell to bell. So,
well, yeah, we also watched those two matches relatively close to each other, and yeah, you can't compare them really.
I did probably prefer it to the hour-long tag that we watched.
Yeah, me too. Yeah,
which, sure, I gave 3.5 to, so
yeah. And I did like Misawa. There was some different like finishers they were pulling out, like tag team finishers. Like Misawa Kobashi hit a powerplex, like, yep. Power and glory. And at one point, Kawada, they put, I think it was Misawa or Kobashi, I forget which one, they put him on Kawada's shoulders. Tawei climbed to the top rope. Tawei kind of chokeslammed him while Kawada gave him a back suplex like at the same time from the top. It kind of looked like a Road Warriors weird spot. It was very bizarre. One thing we didn't mention about 6995 was the coolest move ever in history, I think, when Kawada hit the backdrop driver while Tawei was chokeslamming. Like,
oh yeah, yeah, that was
like
cool.
The coolest double team finisher death move I've ever seen.
Right. Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
So these ones didn't stack up to those.
Do you want to do some rankings and things, Steven? You said you promised that on the last show. So do you want to have a little think about that, or do we do the awards and then do that?
Okay, let's do the awards and then that. So, what do you think spot of the show?
The spot of the show. It's got to be the choke slam on the choke slam onto Kobashi's leg, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think it does. That's like the most heel Anderson move of like all time, I think.
Yeah, really, so it really good. Is. So, yeah.
And I think match is 6995 pretty clearly.
Yeah, and I want to give an honorable mention to Kawada kicking Misawa right at the start of the match in the face.
Yeah, that's one of my other favorite spots of all time, and they're both in that same match, so
yeah.
Says that. But how about, we usually do it per show, we rank the top 4 workers, but let's do it kind of what we've seen since 1990 to now.
Right, okay. So where do you want to go?
Yeah.
Difficult.
Yeah. So just the top four guys, right? We're just going to rank them?
Just top four guys.
Yeah.
Any guys that we've seen? Or because there's Hansen, there's Jumbo, there's...
Yeah, but they're so limited in our viewing in comparison, I think.
I don't know. They had a decent... That's like, true. They had a good couple of five-star matches between them. Some really good performances, I thought, in 19, 91, 92.
That's true.
93.
Okay. Boy. Okay, so do you have a top four then?
Yeah, I do.
All right.
And this is based purely on what we've seen.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so who do you have four then?
My number four is Kawada.
Okay. I wrote down two, Kobashi and Taue.
You can't have them both. What's the point of ranking them if you're going to pick both of them?
So, oh man, it's hard because Kobashi is so great in one way, but is this favorite or best? Let's distinct that there.
This is just the best based on...
If it's best, then it's Kobashi as number four.
Okay. All right. So the thing with Kobashi is that he did, like... It took a while for him to get going, I thought, on our viewing. So, like, 90 and 91...
Hansen matches and
he wasn't quite as good, but he is really like knocking out of the park every single time out now.
Yeah,
since about 93 onwards, I'd say he just seems to be killing it.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So anyway, I mean, Kawada's my fourth. That's not a knock on him. It's just that there's so much greatness here, and somebody has to be fourth. So he's mine.
Fair enough.
So number three, Steven.
I'm going with Misawa here. Okay. Well, I don't have to praise him because we do it all the time, but I think there's just two guys that I've enjoyed better. So,
okay, well, my number three is Stan Hansen.
Stan Hansen.
The match with Kawada is carrying quite a lot of that because we marked for it big, but he's been really impressive in several of his outings. He did have one or two disappointing matches, but, you know, I thought he was really great based on what we've seen. But shit, what am I going to do about Jumbo?
Yeah, so there's your problem. I left Hansen out because I feel like we have seen a lot less Hansen than the other guys.
Right, strike that, Steven. My number three is Jumbo.
Okay.
Sorry, Stan Hansen has to go.
Like, Stan Hansen, for the amount of times we saw him, like his rating per match or something like that, or the enjoyablement per match was higher for him, but... His matches were a lot.
His quantity is down. So, yeah, I have to go Jumbo. I mean, he... Like, even when did he... When was the last time we saw him? 92, basically?
Yeah, 92 he...
But basically, in that stretch that we saw him, Steven, every move, every match, every... Like, he was just phenomenal during that little... The grumpy Jumbo run, you know? So,
yeah.
I had to put him there. And now that I think about it, though, maybe I should switch up and say Jumbo 4, Kawada 5, Kawada 3, based on the fact that he's just had so much more stuff. So if we're chucking the Hansen out for lack of quantity, Jumbo has to come down a bit because of... Okay, so I go officially Jumbo 4, Kawada 3, based on what we've seen.
Okay.
Calling on the fly here, Steven.
Okay, this is very convoluted, but I have Jumbo number two, so I don't know if that throws you out, but we saw so much of him from 90 to 92, and we're only in 95, so...
No, fuck it. I'm going to stand by my original Kawada 4, Jumbo 3.
I hope people are using pencils at home and not pens.
Yeah, a lot of scribbling going on, but yeah, no, I'm going to stick with that. Kawada 4, Jumbo 3, and now you're number 2. And your number 2 is Jumbo.
Yeah. So.
And my number 2 is Kobashi.
Okay. So you have Misawa number 1, and I have Kawada number 1. Okay.
Yeah. No, I mean, Misawa's been in the most great matches. He's a very stoical character. I think he's, in a way, less accessible than Kobashi.
Oh yeah,
I think he's less accessible than Jumbo, and less accessible even than Kawada and Tawe, I'd say. I'd say that in terms of accessibility, he's maybe the hardest guy to relate to, in a way. But he's had a lot of really good performances, and he just seems to be, like, all the way through it, he'd been a constant. Yeah. He was great in 90, 91, 92, 93, 94, 95. Jumbo doesn't have the you know, he basically just stops, his career ends. Kawada's had disappointing matches for me on occasion, which I've discussed on the show. Kobashi, early on, I think he wasn't really that polished in 1991, 92 even, mm-hmm. Which I mentioned on those shows, but he's really become really good 94, 95, 93 as well. But Misawa has been consistently great. So it's almost a consistency thing, I would say, with Misawa. And he's also had the most amount of great matches in what we've seen. So
it's, you know, I think it's hard to argue against any guy as the number one spot in this. Like, they all have their pluses. Like, I think Kawada's kind of heel work and all the matches that you were disappointed when, I liked a lot more than you.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
So it's, yeah. When we get to WrestleMania and we have to do our greatest wrestler ever, you know, top 100, it's going to be really difficult to rank these five in order. And, you know, how... You have Tawe as the kind of the lowest of the four, right?
Oh, easily, yeah.
Yeah.
Easily.
But, like, how high on the greatest wrestler ever is he going to be for you?
Well, Tawe presents a really difficult problem because, like, you know, I mean, let me just pick my favorite guy ever, Steve and Ted DiBiase, right?
Yeah.
Now, DiBiase, I would say, is better at lots of things than Tawe. Lots of things.
Yeah.
And... probably is, like, more of a ring general, has more of the things I'd look for. But how many great matches has Tawe been in? And how great of his performance has been? So that's the sort of dilemma that Tawe presents.
He's a weird enigma because...
So on the one hand, I think, well, clearly DiBiase is a better wrestler than Tawe. Clearly, he's got all of the skills that you'd want. But then I think, well, hold on, if we look at the amount of performances that Tawe's just got in this little run that we've been looking at, Stephen, and then I think, well, you know, what's Ted got to put up against that?
Yeah.
So that's the sort of... So I think Tawe, when all said and done, will probably be in my top 20, just based on sheer amount of, like, you know, he's got to be carrying his end to some extent, you know?
Well, can you imagine Ted having the matches that he had versus Kobashi or Misawa... that good?
Well, in 1985, maybe. Not in 1995,
obviously.
Not in 1995. He was running the Million-Dollar Corporation, Stephen. He had other things. He was trying to turn to tank a heel and messing with Lex Luger's mind. And
oh, boy. But yeah, even like DiBiase at his prime, I don't know.
It's so hard to say. I mean, you know, it's just a difficult thing. Like, we're making a lot of apples to oranges comparisons in some ways.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, and it's not just Ted, of course. It's like Bobby Eaton, Arn Anderson, Tully Blanchard. Like, what do I do? Tawe versus each of those guys. You know, do you know what I mean? Like Tawe versus Ricky Steamboat. What do I do there?
Yeah, it's really hard on people who have bad execution, who look awful, who moves don't look good. It's really hard when they're having so many great matches and so many great performances. It's really hard to rank those.
Like, I don't know what you do there. And then it's like, well, how? Like, what if you put somebody else in that spot, for example? I don't know. The matches would lose something because he's got a unique quality about him. So it's really, he's a difficult person to think about for that.
I think he's the most difficult on the ballot. Like, unless you are into shoot fight, like shoot style, I think Tawe is one of the most difficult, if not the most difficult guy to rank.
I think you're right. I honestly do think you're correct about that. I don't know what you do. I don't know what to do with him, and I have to. I really have to think about all of those things. I mean, he could finish as high as like top 10, top 12,
yeah,
top 15, something like that.
Yeah.
It just really depends on how much I'm going to say, well, actually, no, you need to be able to really nail a vertical suplex and have it look great every time. You need to be a fantastic bumper and seller and all of this sort of thing. And then, you know, he could slip as low as like 35 or something, you know? So it's kind of, I don't know. It's something I have to think about, and it's something everybody has to think about, I reckon.
Yeah.
Well, if they're going to take that whole process seriously.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. I think Tawei is the guy I'm most looking forward to seeing his final ranking. I think he's going to be really high, but
I reckon he's got a realistic shot event of top 15 when all's said and done for everybody, you know. Because I think there are people like quirky individuals like yourself, Stephen, who want to put him as high as possible. But you know, I kind of find myself wanting to put him like he's likable.
He's very likable.
he's like that. He's that kind of like, you know, you kind of think, oh, I don't know. There's something about him that endears you to him.
He's kind of like Darth Vader. Kind of like he's an instrument of evil, but I don't think he's evil himself. But like we saw Jumbo using him for evil. We see Kawada doing it now. Like, I don't think he's evil in his bones, but he's definitely doing evil things all the time.
You just picture him like Jumbo sitting there in the Emperor's throne. Take your place at my side. with Fuchi goading him on. Like, that's his conversion to evil. And then Kawada takes it to the next step. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe we should write fan fiction of
Japan as Star Wars.
All Japan Star Wars comic book.
There you
featuring all these dudes as the dark side. So
oh no, you got Kibashi as Luke Skywalker, obviously.
Yeah.
Misawa's Han Solo.
No. It would be the other way around, wouldn't it? Because Han Solo is the one everybody likes, and Luke Skywalker is a bit more difficult to get.
Okay.
He's such a so it'd be like Misawa is the Luke Skywalker, and Kobashi is, with Barbara as Yoda.
Imagine Baba sitting in a swamp.
Stephen, we need to end this show.
I think we do.
We need to end this show before it gets any weirder, you know. All right, well, join us again for the All Japan Excite series. I hope you had fun here. And in fact, in your feedback, I'd love to know where you're thinking about ranking Tawei, because that is that's something I'm very curious about based on the conversation we just had. Till next time.